Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Gary Schnittke will be here with an update of cash rents for 2013. That's this year. A survey is done annually in the state of Illinois by the professional farm managers. I think you'll want to listen up for that one. And then a bit later in the program, we'll check in on the cash grain market. That'll happen with Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. And our own state climatologist, Jim Angel, will be here to close out the program and look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. Wheat contracts were up 17 cents in the nearby May at 7.14¾ on the settlement price. The July harvest month there at 719.5, up 16 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July at 759.25, up 12 and three quarters. And we're told the whole thing was led higher by the spring wheat in Minneapolis. So that May contract there was up 18.25 at 807.75. The harvest month for the spring is at 805.25, and the December contract up 10 and three quarters. Corn pit back in Chicago from the CME Group, 658.5, a settlement price up 7.25. July at 641.25, up 7.75. And September at $5.77, a dime higher. December corn, the harvest month, 5.50, up 6 cents. March at 5.60¼, up 6¼. May beans, $14.13, a settlement price 11 higher. July up 11 as well at 13.79¼. August at 13.39¼, up 8¼. November beans at 12.31¾, 5 cents higher. January up 4¾. At 12.37¾. Bean meal futures at $400.20, up $5.20. Bean oil at $49.23, down 54. Live cattle futures finished the June at $120.75. That's a dime higher. May feeders down 85 at $140.92.5, and May lean hogs at $87.37.5, 2.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, May contract, $91.20 a barrel, down $2.31. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.80¼, down 2¾¢. And ethanol futures at $2.42, 2¼¢ lower. The difference between the two now, 38¼¢. That's just about a tenth of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.23¼, up 9½¢. Heating oil at $2.87¢. That's down 2¼¢ for the day. That's diesel fuel. Gold futures at $1,500.01. That's down 63½. And the U.S. dollar at 82.3 is up 0.06. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Some isolated showers. It'll be cloudy, a high of 46 degrees. It'll be breezy on a west wind at 20 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 28 this afternoon. Chance of precipitation for the day in the area just 20%. Mostly cloudy this evening and a low of 32. West winds at 10 to 16, gusting to 21. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 53 on a west wind at 10 to 17, gusting to 24. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy and a low of 40. On Sunday, partly sunny skies and a high near 73 degrees. It'll be breezy with a south wind at 10 to 15. That'll increase to 18 to 23 in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 32 on Sunday afternoon. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 53. It'll remain breezy. And Monday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high of 67. Those showers and thunderstorms stay in the forecast Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday evening, and Wednesday, Wednesday night, and Thursday of next week. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, this is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this 12th day of April. On the phone line, Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Wheat has come roaring into the marketplace, and it's pushed things higher, Mike.
We finally feel like Atlas can shrug, don't we, Todd? We can take a break here for a minute. Unfortunately, it comes at the expense of quite a bit of supply potentially lost in the hard red wheat belt, and it comes at the expense of quite a bit of spring wheat that probably will be dislodged as far as not getting planted and have to be substituted into some other type of crop. But the early word after the freeze, and wheat was a Johnny-come-lately type commodity this week. It finally kicked in this week, with it actually making gains on the week just because of today's trade by itself. If July wheat had not gone up 16 and a quarter today, we probably would have closed negative on the week. We would have closed negative on the week, but the trade finally started to come around in both Europe and here in the United States about what type of potential damage we probably have seen due to the freeze. The other big news out there is that Wichita, Kansas, and pretty much all of western Kansas is looking at about 25-degree temperatures, and that's kind of the highest number that I could find, about 25-degree temperatures a week from today. So the trade's starting to really price in a tighter supply, and especially in the aftermath of USDA supply-demand report.
Yeah, so put them all together and tell me what you think supply might look like if there is a substantial cut that comes in the hard red because of the freeze. And, of course, that will have to change maybe some acres there as it turns around, and you can fold that into either corn or beans, your choice. And then the same kind of weather conditions, cold, there's a lot of snow in the north, and they're not able to plant the spring wheat.
Yeah, I think what you're looking at, just from my numbers right now, and these are probably going to go up based upon client conversations. I'm trying to be conservative at this point, Todd, waiting for this weekend to come about and to see exactly what we're going to lose again next week if we get cold. But Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, probably going to be a total of around 50 to 90 million bushels of lost production. That's going to be a hit of about 8 to 13%. Those three states planted around 16.1 million acres. That's probably the low end of the number. So that puts you at a 2013-14 U.S. wheat carryover of 500 million bushels, maybe even below, depending on how USDA wants to play the export market and where the dollar sits 2, 3, 4 months from now. But it certainly, from a U.S. supply-demand perspective, you go 3 months out and you don't have any serious corn and bean planting delays, and you start to talk about harvest time period for the wheat, and you talk about the crops, row crops getting a good foothold of growth, that puts wheat back in the leadership mindset.
Okay. Now, give me some reference on the 500 million. How does that contend with what normal or would be, or what pipeline might be, or something along those lines?
That takes you down to about pipeline, especially given what type of export competition we're probably going to not face this year. India will probably have drawn down their supplies. China is trying to build their wheat reserves up. We're starting to get more information about that. You're talking about going from 700 to 850 million bushels in ending stocks that we've gotten kind of comfortable with this last 3 to 4 years, and essentially shaving 200 to 250 million, 300 million off of that. So it's pretty substantial. And like I told Dave this morning, I really think an 8 handle in front of the Kansas City wheat for the July contract and on out is probably pretty likely at this point, especially given that if we get another freeze next week.
Are you of the mind that those acres that don't make it, that might get torn up, will be planted to corn, primarily because nitrogen was likely applied to the wheat crop sometime over the winter months?
That's a good question. I think most of the guys are going to try at this stage to get what they can out of the wheat and go ahead and double crop beans in the hard red wheat belt. That's what they're saying right now, but I think this could change in 7 days, and they could say, well, I've lost a much bigger percentage, so it's going to be torn up. Crop insurance is going to come in and I'm going to plant, you know, maybe a milo or a corn. But I think in the northern plains, in the spring wheat belt, given what we're seeing in temperatures, I mean, I'm looking at Bismarck, North Dakota, having an actual temperature of zero next week, and we're looking at 14 inches of snow this week coming in. I struggle to think that they'll be through their flooding and to get the ground dried out enough that they'll be able to get into corn. I'm thinking they're probably going to have to do an oil seed like a canola or like a soybean, because they just won't be able to get in underneath the pollination window on a short enough variety of corn.
All right, so now let's take the wheat crop, which will be short, in your opinion, at this point. May have an 8 handle on front of it. What does it do to corn over that same time frame if we have even a delayed start to the growing season?
I think it does very little other than support it. And, you know, I'm going to introduce the idea of Australia coming in here. Australia is probably going to be an extremely large issue to both the wheat market and the barley market. So it becomes an extremely large issue fundamentally to the corn as well as the wheat market. But when you look at Victoria wheat percent soil moisture right now, we're running at about 0% in that most of that province of Victoria. New South Wales, we're running at about 15% soil moisture in the wheat belt of New South Wales. You're talking about two-thirds of the wheat belt, essentially half to two-thirds of the wheat belt in Australia, running much lower than last year, much lower than normal. If this continues another month, then you not only have an issue with corn planting delays here in the United States and spring wheat planting delays here in the United States, but then you start talking about one of our biggest competitors on the Asian Rim, and you get to start thinking that the supply side of the equation in the wheat becomes nothing but supportive for the corn market, and that's where, you know, the turn in the mindset, in the sentiment, and the momentum of the grains as a whole, I think, puts wheat in the driver's seat.
Anything else before I let you go?
I think the big thing to watch is the soybean. The report was the most bullish for nearby soybeans, Todd, and the USDA reported 8.3 million bushels of stocks on their weekly Tuesday report this week. We had 28.2 last week or last year for the same week, and I think the basis really showed that up this year in this week's trade, especially if we keep the bird flu out of the conversation and we keep Chinese cancellations off the table. I think the old crop beans could do a lot for new crop next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Join us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
And now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, U.S. companies will have to embark on a little-known and potentially complex online system to verify their workers' legality if Congress accepts immigration overhaul legislation currently under consideration. A bipartisan immigration proposal in the Senate would require all employers, after 5 years, to use E-Verify, a now voluntary system that helps detect unaccredited workers. Under the Senate plan, U.S. citizens and permanent residents would have to show their passports, driver's licenses, or green cards to new employers. The 11 million in the U.S. illegally and people coming to the U.S. legally with visas will have to show new machine-readable identifications, that according to a person familiar with the plan. The United States has approved Japan's entry into negotiations on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact. The U.S. and Japan have agreed on key areas of concern, including robust actions in the automotive and insurance sectors and other non-tariff measures. Japan's admission into negotiations still requires approval from the other 10 nations involved and completion of respective domestic processes. EPA Administrator nominee Gina McCarthy did not pull any punches Thursday, when asked during her Senate confirmation hearing about what is perceived to be the agency's terrible relationship with U.S. agriculture. McCarthy says, quote, "I think the EPA has bridges to build with the agriculture community." McCarthy says EPA's recent release of personal information about CAFA owners to environmental groups has done harm to the agency's relationships with rural America. The release announced in February came just 7 months after the agency told livestock industry officials it would take measures to protect farmers' personal information. Lawmakers also questioned McCarthy about a new EPA rule set to take effect May 10th that would require many farmers to develop and implement plans on the farm to prevent chemical and other spills. McCarthy said that as administrator, she would need to familiarize herself with an array of issues, offering to get back to senators with answers at some time later. A new federal report concludes that last year's huge drought was a freak of nature that was not caused by man-made global warming. Scientists say the lack of moisture, usually pushed up from the Gulf of Mexico, was the main reason for the drought in the nation's midsection. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our panelists this week for that program are Matt Bennett, Chip Nellinger, Jackie Vakes, and our guest, John Bondurant. Should be a great show. We'll record at 4:30 this afternoon. Post to our website at willag.org by 6 o'clock this evening.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Did you know that the Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers surveys its members each winter? It asks about the cash rents being collected for the coming growing season. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke happens to be a member of that association, and he says the cash rents for 2013, well, they're broken into four land quality classes.
For excellent quality land, which is anything over 190 bushels of corn per acre, so they expect over 190 bushels per corn, the average is $396 per acre. So, and that's up about from $379 from in 2012. So it's up about $17, $18 from the 2012 level. Good, which would be from 170 to 190. $339 an acre. Average, which would be from 150 to 170 bushels per acre, 285. And fair, which is below 150, would be $235 per acre.
How did they calculate the bushels to the acre?
That's, again, what they do is they ask their professional farm managers, and they say, take a five-year average. What would you expect for a five-year average from this piece of land? And if it's over 190 bushels, it would be excellent quality farmland.
Did they throw out last year, apparently?
That should be a part of a 25-year average, I guess. But, last year was an anomaly, obviously.
Did you do anything else with the study and the numbers?
Well, you know, what's always interesting is the range of rents. And they also ask for their highest one-third leases, highest one-third of their leases, mid one-third of their leases, and low one-third. Just to give you a feel for excellent quality land, the average of the high one-third leases was $447 per acre, and the low one-third was $320 an acre. So that's a range there of just those high and low of over $100 an acre. Just gives you a feel for the variability that's out there. And when we talk about averages, even professionally farm managed land has this large range, and if we threw in all land, that would get much larger.
You've been watching these numbers for several years now. Do they ever decrease from year to year?
Well, we haven't seen that in a long time. So the last time you'd probably saw cash rents, the average cash rents decrease was in the 1980s.
From your professional point of view as a farm management specialist, when you take into account all of the costs, are the numbers that we talked about usable?
All right. So in essence, they're saying that excellent quality land has cash rent of $400. Non-land costs will be a little over $500, so say $900 of costs there. If you have, just for easy figuring, 200 bushel corn yield, that works out to be something over $4 corn, which may or may not happen. I mean, it's worked out, obviously, the past several years with higher prices and higher crop insurance payments, but if we get back to $4.50 corn or below $4 corn, it won't work.
Gary Schnuke, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on professionally managed farms and cash rents on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's check the cash grain market now. On the phone line from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, out of Ludlow, Illinois, is Bruce Bostard. Good afternoon to you, Bruce. How are you today?
Good.
I haven't asked in a while. You used to operate and manage about 10 elevators. Has that changed?
At 10 right now.
Still at 10.
Okay.
So across those 10, what does basis look like for corn?
Backed off a little bit earlier this week. Some pressure from the board coming back and a little bit of cash movement. I guess I question how much we're going to let the board take the run on it and how long we can keep the basis, you know, take this step back, or will we see it start to creep back up again? And I lean more towards the creeping back up again.
Are you of a mind that the wheat at Chicago will help lead that higher, or is it just an arbitrary function?
Oh, wheat has been helping the board come up. That has maybe on the front end here been a little bit negative to the corn basis, but there are still some places where wheat doesn't work real well, and we need corn and need to generate some additional corn bushels. Some of the processors I talked to, they'll keep pushing their purchases out. I can think of a couple plants that have coverage on out into the end of July, so they don't have that much more to cover before they can sit back and wait for new crop.
Does that surprise you for this year that they're covered that far out?
No. You know, the old problem long anticipated seldom develops, so we've had plenty of lead time on this, and they had opportunity to just go out and, when they saw their opportunities, push their basis purchases forward.
Your view of the landscape for soybeans?
Soybeans, that basis has come up through the course of the week, and I think we can see some more upward pressure on that. We saw the first of the processors in Central Illinois try and switch over to the July this week, which is real early, trying to make the basis look even better out there. There's still crush that needs to get covered before we get out. Choppy basis levels. We'll see pushes and back off and pushes again, and I think we'll see more of the same.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.69 on nearby corn and $14.36 on soybeans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with Jim Angel, the state climatologist. He's located at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
It's National Licorice Day. The use of licorice roots dates back to at least the time of the pharaohs. Licorice roots were discovered in the tomb of King Tut. The root is 25 times sweeter than sugar and was brought to the New World by the English. It's also Feast of St. Zeno of Verona, patron of anglers and fishermen. And it's Corn Festival Day in Guatemala. On this day in agricultural history in 1831, Granville Dodge was born. An American civil engineer, he was responsible for much of the railroad construction in the western and southwestern U.S. during the 19th century, including the Union Pacific Railroad. In 1838, John Shaw Billings was born, an American surgeon and librarian. His organization of U.S. medical institutions played a central role in the modernization of hospital care and public health. It was he who was responsible for creating the New York Public Library to advance medical knowledge. In 1988, the first U.S. patent on an animal life form was issued to Harvard scientists for a genetically engineered mouse. In 1989, the USSR issued ration cards for sugar due to shortages. And in 2001, Maryland banned the farming of genetically modified fish in any waters linked to any other bodies of water. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line from the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute is Jim Angel to help us look at the weather forecast. Jim, let's start with what's happened so far this week. We've had a lot of rainfall. What kind of numbers do we see in the area?
Yes, if you look at the rainfall totals, it has been a wet week across the state and really across the Midwest. It's been fairly active. In Illinois as a whole, we've gotten the amounts were an inch or less in far southern Illinois, and then we've gotten up to 3 to 4 inches in far northwestern Illinois. Here in the central part of the state, the numbers I've been seeing about 1.5 to 2 inches out of this, or maybe even a little more than that from this last set of rain events. And so It's pretty wet out there. We've been wet up through this point anyway, so this is just added to it. So we're in many places still, you know, much above average on the precipitation side.
It's been wet. It's also been cool. Will we change either of those in the coming days?
Well, I hope so. You know, if you look at the National Weather Service forecast, this weekend it'll warm up a little bit. In fact, on Sunday it's supposed to get a high of 72. On Saturday, a high of 53. So Sunday will feel great, but then we kind of start sliding back down into the wetter and cooler conditions. Around here, probably the highs throughout next week will be in the mid to upper 60s and lows in the 40s. If you go a little farther north, though, it'll be a little colder as you kind of get on the other side of the front that's going to kind of stall out on top of us there. But probably the main thing is lots of rain. We've got a cold front that's sweeping through the state on Monday and Tuesday, and that'll bring some rain. And then there's another system expected to roll through on about Wednesday or Thursday, and that'll bring even more rain. So lots of rain in the forecast all the way from Sunday night all the way through Thursday at this point.
By comparison, as a climatologist, over the years, where do we stand for the month of April?
Right now for April, we're about on track. We're just a little over a third of the way through the month, and we're actually in many places already a third or halfway through our monthly total of average precipitation. So in many spots, we're tracking pretty closely to average and maybe slightly above. I suspect, though, after this next week, we'll have many areas that will be above average for April.
Is there a division in the state between those who have and those who have not gotten a normal amount of rain or above normal amount of rain?
Yeah, I think that kind of the rough dividing line right now is Interstate 70. Those folks to the north of Interstate 70 have been wetter than average, and those to the south have been drier than average as far as April precipitation. But that may change in the coming week, especially as we get later in the week when that system rolls in from the southwest there. That may produce a lot more rain across the southern part of the state.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey. The Prairie Research Institute serves as the state climatologist. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. That wraps it up. Be sure to visit our website for Commodity Week after about 6 o'clock this evening. We'll post that. We record at 4:30. Our guest this week, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures. The panelists will include Chip Dellinger, Matt Bennett, and Jackie Vake. Should be a great show. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great weekend.